League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
People say I am the best boss.
You can find us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and call in at 1-800-777-2907. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson. Ain't no mountain
high enough. Sometimes the best conversations happen when we're off the air. So I learned.
Good thing you reminded me that we were going on air. That's all I can say.
Well, so for those who don't know, the gloss is something that people put on their lips. And so usually right before the show begins, Carla puts the gloss on her lips. It's sort of like a football player putting...
It's a ritual. It's pre-gaming.
Yeah, it's putting eye black under the eyes. You put gloss on your lips, and then you're good to go.
That's right.
So what happened is we were reminiscing. Carla, a few years back, you were a brunette. Today, you're a blonde. And
you're giving away all my secrets.
Well, Chris, you've only seen her as a blonde. You don't think she should go back to being a brunette, do you?
Carla.
Yes, Chris.
I love you just the way that you are.
Thank you. You and Billy Joel.
The right
thing. I'm glad you got that. William Matthew Joel on a Monday night.
See, I'm going to keep your music reference. Like how you do closing time for us. Yeah. I love that. It doesn't go unnoticed.
You and me, Carla.
Chris.
You and me, Carla.
That's right. I look.
It's the circle of trust. You're in there too, David.
Well,
it's
thank
the circle
you.
Of trust.
I'm glad to be included here.
One big circle.
I'm glad there's a glass here separating Chris Tubbs from the rest of us. Now, Tubbs has pointed out, by the way, they named Miss Universe this week. In fact, it was yesterday. Big, big news. I'm sure you're watching it late into the night.
Only the best TV watching for me.
There it is.
Absolutely.
If the Vikings aren't on, it's Miss Universe.
Anything with the word Miss, and then Little Miss Sunshine, Miss Universe,
Driving Miss Daisy. Yeah, got all kinds.
So Miss Universe.
Well, yes, Miss Universe. And the winner was Miss South Africa. She won the title. And then when that came out, I got a tweet and somebody asked, has Carla ever participated in a beauty contest? So I feel I need to ask you, were you ever a contestant?
Oh, Lord, I cannot answer this question.
So in other words, she can neither confirm nor deny that.
I know. She's afraid people go dig up old bikini shots when she's out on stage.
This is all I'm going to say. I have a face for radio. There's a reason I'm behind the mic.
Tell them that's not true.
That is not true.
We got theater of the mind going here. So former beauty contestant Carla Dawson here, and we are... about to enter hour number two. We're going to devote a healthy amount of time to the NFL. When we come back, you're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So a few weeks ago when we were talking about the NFL, we called them the National Parity League, not the National Football League, because there seemed to be so much parity. Nobody really would stand apart. Anybody who got up would suddenly be pulled down. But
all the leagues were real tight.
Everybody was tight. But now, here we sit, about a month later, and there seems to be a stratification happening.
SAT word.
I thought so.
Showing off. The boss is showing off. I like
it. Every now and then. But, I mean, the difference between the contenders and the pretenders is now pretty obvious.
It really is.
So in the AFC, no doubt, contenders, Patriots and Steelers. Mm-hmm. Those two are the elite. In the NFC, you've got the Eagles, Vikings, Saints, and Rams all stand elite. But some better teams just beneath that level, I think, in the NFC. I mean, you've got Carolina and Atlanta.
Carolina's tied with New Orleans now after yesterday's loss to the Rams.
Carolina's a team to reckon with.
They're both 8-3, yeah, which is interesting.
And, of course, the Falcons, how long can a hangover last? I ask somebody who has presumably very little experience with hangovers.
That would be none.
But
that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
The Falcons with the presumed Super Bowl hangover came into the season struggling a little bit. Here they are. They're now seemingly getting back on track.
Third win in a row yesterday over Tampa Bay.
it's hard to win three games in a row in the NFL, and mm-hmm. they looked pretty good doing so.
516 yards. Of course, it is against Tampa Bay. But I also think this is a badly needed kind of pop in the offense for Steve Sarkisian, their new OC.
Yep. You know, and he's found all these creative ways to get Julio Jones the ball.
253 yards for Jones yesterday.
Unbelievable.
He was incredible. And he's done that. You know, Julio Jones has had over 200 yards three times in a short seven-year career already. But can we just talk about wide receiver Mohamed Sanu?
Please.
You know, he is now.
He's a quarterback.
He is a quarterback.
He throws the ball.
What was that? That 51-yard touchdown pass to Julio Jones?
Yes.
That was a thing of beauty. He was a triple threat quarterback in high school. And clearly, Cleveland, don't you become calling for him. Well,
yeah, the Browns may want him.
They really might.
He's probably better than anyone they have on the roster
that
right now.
That was impressive. I love him as a wide receiver, but wow, that was really exciting to see yesterday.
Yep, he's done it before. He's a special player. And so Falcons come out with a nice win, and they look like they're ascending at the right time here mm-hmm. down the stretch. Let's go to the Rams with a big win over the Saints. That was a matchup of two teams that have really played well. Both have been in good runs. I mean, the Rams had that one loss to the Vikings.
A bad one.
But they come right back, and they look really, really good. I was very impressed with the Rams, both on the offensive and the defensive side of the ball.
You hit the nail on the head. It's the complimentary football at its finest. That was a clinic yesterday. You had Todd Gurley running for 128 yards. You had Greg Zuerlein with four field goals in that game. And the defense stifled one of the NFL's most potent offenses in New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans struggled to get a rhythm.
They really did.
They had little stretches. They had some plays, but they weren't the same consistent offense we've seen previously.
Well, that I also might hang a little bit on the officials. There were a combined over 200 yards of penalties between the two teams.
Yep.
That every time I turned around, there was a black and white guy on the screen. I'm like, not again.
Yep.
It was a little chippy. I didn't love that. That really took... It wasn't the most exciting game. Did you enjoy, did you think that was a great football game to watch?
No, not a great game to watch, although some standout performances. Alvin Kamara, running back of the Saints, just looks electric. He's a guy that's really fun to watch, and when he gets out into space, he's gone.
No, it's very true. He's incredible. And their tandem of Kamara and Ingram together is great, too.
Yep.
But Todd Gurley, I cannot say enough about that guy. And you remember, he was coming off an ACL injury when he was drafted. And really, you know, you never know what you're going to get with that. But boy, is he a workhorse, and he is a difference maker. When he gets 20 or more carries, they win.
Yep. And for all the love of the Rams offense, Goff's emergence, mm-hmm. Gurley, mm-hmm. of course, let's look at the defensive side of the ball. Aaron Donald is playing outstanding, one of the top defensive linemen in the league right now.
He was in on every single play. Unbelievable. Yeah, and the Rams really took advantage of a beat-up secondary for New Orleans. They have Marshawn Lattimore is out,
yep.
who, you know, he can thank Deshaun Watson. He's in contention for Rookie of the Year for sure. So that made a big difference for New Orleans not to have him.
All right, let's look at the Patriots. Not a marquee matchup. They're playing the Dolphins, mm-hmm. and you just expect them to go in and win. It should not be a big deal to beat the Dolphins for the Patriots. And Patriots now, remember, it wasn't that long ago in the beginning of the season, people were worried, well, the Patriots' defense is weak. They don't have a pass rush. They can't do anything right. Maybe this is the end. And then here we sit, Patriots sitting 9-2, clearly the class of the AFC.
Who's ever going to bet against them? I say that all the time. But you think about it, with their win yesterday over Miami, which was 35-17, they have clinched their 17th consecutive winning season, which began in 2001, which was Brady's first year as a starter.
Yep.
So, and you know, Miami wide receiver Jarvis Landry, he talked to SI and he said, Patriots are not our big brother anymore. Basically, like, we're going to take them down. I think maybe he should talk to George Springer, the Astros guy, about SI predictions.
Yes.
That one didn't go well
for
him.
No, it did not. I'll tell you, the guy that stood out to me in that game, Rex Burkhead. Mm-hmm. And the only reason he stood out to me is I
love that you noticed him.
Well, who's Rex Burkhead? I mean, in the coming into the season, we were not talking about Rex Burkhead, right? Rex Burkhead scores two touchdowns for the Patriots yesterday, ran for over 50 yards. He's part of the offense. He's in the scheme. Belichick has done it again. He's found a guy who seemingly doesn't do anything for anybody, brought him onto the Patriots, and found a way to put him into the right place to make a play. Just look at the resume of Burkhead. He's drafted in the sixth round by the Bengals. He does nothing for the Bengals. He's basically a special teams player. And there he was catching a touchdown pass from Tom Brady yesterday and running for another. Big day for Rex Burkhead. He deserves a shout out.
Yes, he does. And credit once again, Bill Belichick, for being able to find these diamonds in the rough or developing these players into diamonds in the rough.
Yep. Well, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. This is Chris Tubbs' special moment.
Oh, Chris
we
is excited.
We turn the tables over to the Vikings. Chris Tubbs, he bleeds blue. He lights a candle when the Vikings play. He's now a Case Keenum groupie.
He's wearing his shirt, Zimmer for president.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Chris, on your victory.
Thank you. We've worked hard. We battled. You know, we feel good about where we're at, but, you know, we realize it's a week-to-week league, so we're going to take it one day at a time. We got some time off. We're going to regroup, and, you know, we're going to go down to the dirty south, as they say, and take on those dirty birds, get revenge for 1998.
No kidding. Look at Keenum's numbers, Chris. I mean, goodness. In the last two games, he's thrown for 562 yards, three touchdowns without his interception, and 110 passer rating. Who is this guy? Who is this mass man?
You can even go back to the last four games. I mean, the last four games, he's had no less than 280 yards. Mm. And you're looking at, what, six, nine touchdowns and three interceptions? I think he's becoming more than just a game manager. They're allowing him to make plays. Pat Shurmur's got a little bit more confidence in him. And that, along with that defense, right now they're playing good football. I think everybody's getting overshadowed by the Philadelphia Eagles. But right now, I mean, the Vikings, they've got a nice passing game to go along with a really good running game.
Thank Adam Thielen. Sure.
Oh, Adam Thielen is
Stephon Diggs. Yeah, it's
no,
nice.
I mean, Adam Thielen's a great story. Great story. And, you know, he's come out, and if you look at his, you know, ascension to the top, he has supplanted Stephon Diggs. I mean, coming into last week, he was number two in the NFL in receiving yards. Amazing to think that a kid from northern Minnesota that wasn't even drafted is being talked about in an Antonio Brown level.
And do you know that Adam Thielen now joins Randy Moss as the only Viking receiver to have 70 catches, 1,000 receiving yards, only 11 games into the season?
It's amazing.
That's incredible.
When you think about some of the receivers in Ahmad Rashad, Chris Carter. It is. And I know Chris Carter started with the Eagles, but you look at some of the playmakers.
Randy Moss
that
is
had.
Nice company to be mentioned.
Randy Moss is you know, he's one of the all-time greats, no question.
And, you know, since Keenum took over in week five, the Vikings are 7-0. Chris, you are one happy man.
I know. As you can tell, I've got my playoff beard already.
It keeps getting longer. He's not shaving it. It's good luck.
I know.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a good idea, but we'll run with it as long as those Vikings keep winning.
If the boss says it's not a good idea, then it's coming off tomorrow.
All right, so just to round out the elite, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they won last night, but it was not an easy win.
And it should be an easy win against the Aaron Rodgers-less Packers.
That's what it left me hit my head shaking. I mean, I thought that this was an easy win. Tomlin even was looking beyond it, right? He was looking forward to the big matchup against the Patriots.
Okay, now, there's an issue, too. Would you admit that if you're Mike Tomlin?
I might think it, but I would never admit it.
Wow.
He did something that sort of broke the cardinal rule of coaching to do so. And, yes, he came out. And look, from his – thank goodness he won. Because if the Steelers had lost – then he would have been raked over the coals for talking ahead about the matchup with the Patriots.
No, absolutely. I'm not convinced about the Pittsburgh Steelers, though, and I've talked to you about this. It's their lack of consistency that just makes me a little bit crazy. I don't want to jump on that Pittsburgh bandwagon, and I'm loving that Juju Smith-Schuster. He didn't play last night because of injury, that rookie receiver. But for Pittsburgh to beat Green Bay last night, Boswell had to make a 53-yard field goal in order to end the game. And earlier, he'd missed an extra point, so good for him. But it shouldn't be that hard. You should be able to get that Green Bay team when they're down. And so I'm still scratching my head at, okay, the Pittsburgh Steelers are clearly running away with the AFC North right now at 9-2. The next people down are who we're watching on Monday Night Football right now, the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know. I'm not convinced. I don't know that I can see them playing deep into January.
Well, we shall see. Tomlin says they will.
Yes,
he said
does.
It out on NBC Sunday Night Football. When we come back, we're going to get to talk to Dale Hillestray, a former NFL player, three-time Super Bowl winner with the Cowboys. We're going to ask him what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys. How have they fallen so fast? You're listening to The Boss and Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on SB Nation Radio, Dale Hellestray. He's a guy with three Super Bowl rings with the Dallas Cowboys and a long career in the NFL. Welcome into the show, Dale.
I'm excited to be with you guys. How are you today?
We're doing great. We are noting that the Dallas Cowboys, your former team, is not doing so well. It's really amazing to think how far they've fallen in just 3 weeks, and they've not looked productive at all. Did you see this coming? I mean, what's happened in the last 3 weeks?
Well, I don't know if anybody saw it coming, but I don't know if anybody saw that you're going to lose your running back, your left tackle, and your best defensive player all in the same span, too.
Yes.
You know, and again, I think the wonderful thing about the NFL is the fact that every year is a new year. And, you know, I mean, in college football, you seem to see the same 5, 6, 8, 10 teams that are going to be vying for a national championship. In the NFL, the roster changes every year. And, you know, the NFC's got a lot of good football teams in it. And right now, Dallas is not playing as well as they'd like to.
We're talking to Dale Hellestray, former Dallas Cowboy player, among many other things. Dale, though, people are now looking at whether Jason Garrett is making the moves he needs to make, whether he's adjusting to the injuries that have happened. Do you think the coaching staff deserves some of the blame that's coming back with the losses?
Well, you know, you go back a few weeks, and when Smith was Tyron Smith, the left tackle, and you're starting a young kid over there for him, and you see he's struggling. I think every game you go into it with a game plan, saying, "Hey, our guys can match up against their guys," but it was quick. It was very early in that game that you realize that Green could not match up. And so you have to have other things in your arsenal. I would think that if they go back and look at the film, they wish that they would have made adjustments earlier than they did, even though I don't think they made the adjustments necessary that game.
Dale, quick question for you, still sticking with Dallas. If you had to pick an MVP in absentia, basically, would it be Ezekiel Elliott, Tyron Smith, or Sean Lee? Who do you think is the most important by...
That's a good question, actually.
Of course, we'd really like you to suit up.
I think Dan Bailey's pretty good, too. There's another injury they've had.
I probably would have them try MVPs, but if I had to rank them, I'd probably say Ezekiel first, Tyron Smith second, and then Sean Lee third, although all of them are huge losses to a team. You know, you take away three of the four best players on any football team and they're going to struggle.
Mm-hmm. Which then in turn leads to Dak Prescott struggling because he's not used to playing from behind. It's just kind of a mess. So hopefully they can turn things around. And maybe, Dale, you will suit up for them again.
Well, see, it's how I have an artificial hip and I got plates in my leg. If they're looking to me, they're in real big trouble.
Shifting gears really quickly, Dale, to the AFC. Are the Steelers for real? I watched the game last night, and it was down to the wire against the Aaron Rodgers-less Packers. I'm concerned about the consistency of Roethlisberger and the Steeler team as a whole. How much confidence do you have in them that they can play far into January?
Well, again, you look at them, they got a bunch of talented players. And when those guys are all on the same page and they're all making plays, they can play with anybody. But as we've seen this year, if they're not all on the same page and not all playing together, they can lose to just about anybody. It makes for an exciting game to watch. If I were a Steeler fan, though, it would give me cause for concern.
We're talking to Dale Hellestray, a former NFL football player. Dale, the Kansas City Chiefs have taken a big fall as well. That is something I did not see coming. In fact, early in the season, of course, they had the great win over the Patriots. How do you diagnose what's happened there? It seems less obvious to me than the Cowboys. It's not three or four big marquee injuries.
Well, again, I think they probably aren't doing the things they did early in the year. You know, you had Kareem Hunt who burst on the scene as a running back and seemed like he was going for over 100 yards every week and everybody's fantasy dream and all those things, and they struggled there, which then again puts a lot more pressure on an Alex Smith. And Alex Smith's career is, you know, you give him a supporting cast, he's not going to lose you football games. I'm just not sure if he's talented enough, like an Aaron Rodgers, to to go out there and win you football games. I think that's where you're struggling right now if you're the Kansas City Chiefs.
So if you're Andy Reid, do you stick with Alex Smith? Because, of course, the fan base is screaming, Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes. But there's also the loss of safety, Eric Berry, which has been a huge loss. Do you stick with Alex Smith at this point, or do you try out Patrick Mahomes just to give him time before next season?
Well, I think to the fans, every fan's favorite is a backup quarterback because he can always do better than the guy, unless you're up in New England. The backup quarterback can always do better than the starter can. I think that Kansas City's plan is, you know what, we are going to let Mahomes learn this year. I think over the long haul it's going to be best for the organization, although, you know, another loss or two, and I think Andy Reid might have to try and pull the trigger, even though I don't think he wants to.
We're talking to Dale Hellestray, former NFL player. Dale, one of the most interesting quarterback situations in the league is Case Keenum starting, Teddy Bridgewater on the bench, and, of course, Sam Bradford injured. Nobody saw that coming into the season, and, of course, none of those quarterbacks are under contract for next year. Are you now a believer in Case Keenum?
You know what? As long as they keep winning, I'm a believer in them, and I think that's the way Mike Zimmer and his staff look at it. Obviously, that team, they start with defense, and they're as good as anybody in the league. Case Keenum, you know, you go with a hot hand. I remember back in the early 80s, Troy Aikman got hurt in 1991, and Steve Berline stepped in. We won six straight. Troy was healthy towards the end of the year, but we kept winning, and Jimmy stuck with him. So I think you're going to stick with the hot hand being Case Keenum until something happens where you have to make a change.
Hey, Dale, since we've got you on the phone, you're one of the best long snappers, if not the best, in NFL history. So you look at Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Jacoby Brissett, Russell Wilson, Tom Savage. These are some of the many quarterbacks that are constantly under duress due to weak offensive line play. You, as a premier gold standard on the offensive line, why are we seeing so many subpar lines?
Well, I think that goes back to the agreement, the CBA, that the players struck with the owners, and there's no off-season work. There's very little contact. There's no way for these offensive linemen coming from college, who all they do is stand on the line. They only have to pass block for about a second because the ball's coming out of the quarterback's hands. There's no chance for them to improve from year to year. And I think that and tackling are the two things that have really shown up with this lack of contact in practice. And then as the offensive line goes, it's about being together for a while. It's about facing duress together. And you don't do that anymore, especially in the off season and during training camp.
That's Dale Hellestray. Dale, thanks so much for joining us on SB Nation Radio. Really appreciate the stuff.
Great to have you, Dale.
You got it. You guys have a good night.
So, Carla, I was struck by your question about the Kansas City Chiefs. Should Andy Reid look at starting Patrick Mahomes? My position on that is, if you're still in it now, you don't. You stick with Alex Smith. You fix what's going wrong. But Mahomes is a very attractive idea, and the fan base is pretty hungry for him.
He's a gunslinger, and that's exactly what they're missing with Alex Smith. Alex Smith is most comfortable with the little dinkers, or, you know, 7 to 15 yard passes. And remember at the beginning of the season when he started throwing the long ball, we were like, who is this?
Yep.
And I said it was from the Mahomes effect, like feeling Patrick Mahomes kind of nipping at his heels a little bit to get in. And now he has reverted back to the Alex Smith that we know and the Alex Smith that he's comfortable being, clearly. But you're right. The Chiefs are still leading in the AFC West at 6-5, with the Chargers right behind them at 5-6. This is not the time to test out a rookie quarterback who, in all honesty to me, I like Patrick Mahomes, but he came out of Texas Tech, which is not a winning program. He's got a rocket arm, but he is one of the most raw quarterbacks I have seen drafted in the first round in years. I think he's going to be really good. He needs some time. So unless you're ready to mail it in, Kansas City fans need to chill it out. And remember, safety Eric Berry, as we mentioned, he's been out That's a huge loss. That's a huge loss for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They've got to figure out something, but I don't think you change quarterbacks now, would you?
No, I would not. I'd ride Alex Smith this season, but we shall see. When we come back, we're going to give you an update on Monday Night Football. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Fallout from that Raiders victory over the Broncos, Crabtree and Tlaib in a big fight, and it looks like both players will be suspended for 2 games.
That is what you'd call a chain reaction in more ways than one, right?
Yes. Well, so the amazing thing to me was Crabtree running around with his hat off, asking for trouble. I mean, what do you do with that? I mean, that's if you're going to get in a fight, keep your helmet on. That's your best defense.
Okay, because I'm a Raider girl, princess of darkness,
oh,
I'm going to take the other side.
Oh, boy.
What a wimp, Akeem Tlaib, leaving his helmet on. And even in the middle of the fight, he backed up to tighten up the helmet.
That's called smarts.
I am an Oaktown girl, and you do not do helmets off. Right, everyone's
the day when we get into our big fight, I'm going to wear a helmet. You can go helmetless.
I will go helmetless. Yes.
Deal?
That was a crazy situation yesterday. So this was during the Raiders in Oakland, Raiders versus Denver.
These things only happen in Oakland.
Well, that unfortunately yes. is very true. But it was a battle of two underperforming AFC West teams. You know, Denver at 3-8, Oakland at 5-6. Tensions are already high.
Well, and I might add, Denver, of course, has had their general manager call them soft in the previous week. So they certainly didn't come out looking soft.
Well, and let me just say, Tlaib is soft. If you're going to fight, you got to make the playing field equal. You see Crabtree's helmet off. You got to whip yours off. Then I will respect that fight. Making sure yours is on tight. I just lost it.
All right. He's soft. You convinced me.
He was soft. And let me say that Crabtree... Well, he shouldn't be doing that, shouldn't be throwing punches. Great follow through. He had some excellent punches. You know, he used to do kickboxing, so I really enjoyed. If you're going to see a Raider fight, I have learned to watch a lot of them. He did a nice job. But what I really saw, this happened 3 minutes into the first quarter.
Yes.
So clearly there was nothing in the game up until that point. Last year, Akeem Tlaib did the same thing to Crabtree where he grabbed the gold chain, you know, ripped the chain off him. Crabtree came into this game, in my estimation, already with a grudge. He was going to go after him. And then when Tlaib did the exact same thing to him, all bets were off.
Well, it's great. These two teams meet twice each year, so we can look forward to next year. And again, I mean, this is just going to be a residual thing.
But, you know, there's a third player, too. And Chris, do you know if Gabe Jackson, Oakland's tackle, was suspended at all? He pushed an official in all of this.
As far as I know, the only word coming out from the NFL is Akeem Tlaib and Michael Crabtree. It just said, yeah, I mean, Jackson was ejected after he touched the official, but no word on whether or not there's any additional discipline coming his way.
It's to me, I think that's the worst offense. They went after an official. Well, he did a Marshawn Lynch.
Yes, that's right.
What, gosh, do you just, I mean, how fun is Oakland?
Well, the whole melee looked like a hockey game, right? You go to the hockey game and a fight broke out, or a fight to a hockey game broke out. But in this case, it was a pretty good fight. I mean, everybody got involved.
Okay, I'm glad you likened it to an NHL fight.
Yes.
What do they do in an NHL fight with their helmet?
Okay, they take
Police,
them off.
Because they are men. Real men on ice. They whip off the helmets and the refs let them go at it. So I'm just going to say wimp for Akeem Tlaib.
All right.
However, I will say for both of them, because I don't want to seem like I am promoting fighting. This is a team sport, guys. And neither team can afford to lose their best players over personal battles. This was clearly personal.
So to be clear, you're not against fighting. But if you are going to fight, take that helmet off.
Take it off.
All right, take it off.
There you go.
Now we are about at a place where you and I might have a fight, or at least the nominal segment, world-winning, widely acclaimed feature, the He Said, She Said segment.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
So what happens here is we look at what somebody said, some sports luminary said each week, and it's usually very compelling audio. We have Well, there's no better compelling audio than the Gronk. Rob Gronkowski of the Patriots. If we could probably pick him every week. He always has something profound to say,
does he not?
Well, he did this week. It was post-game, and he was talking about, well, a touchdown celebration in which he participated. Let's hear what the Gronk had to say.
That was not planned or anything, and we got yelled at. We're not allowed to talk about celebrations. That's what we got told, but I kind of want to talk about it. But I kind of don't, because I'll get in trouble. So I don't know what to do. So it just happened on the spot. It wasn't planned. We'll just keep it there.
You see, and when he was saying all that, he probably had that silly grin that he had.
He did. He had the cat that ate the mouse grin.
So he says he would get in trouble. How could anybody get mad at the Gronk?
Because Bill Belichick is the coach.
Because he's grumpy and he's wired to do so.
Yeah, you can't. If you celebrate, that's not the Patriot way.
That's exactly right. And Belichick was, quote, not amused.
But it was Cook's fault. It wasn't Gronk.
It was Cook. That's right. So just to set it up, it was a 5-yard touchdown passed by Brandon Cooks in the fourth quarter versus Miami, and he jumped on the back of Gronk and piggybacked him and kind of rode him like a horse, kind of doing the woohoo.
Why not?
And you're right, Chris. It is not the Patriot way. They don't do that. They just, you know, you look at Tom Brady, who is the polar opposite of Rob Gronkowski. So it's kind of fascinating. But I love Gronkowski's absolute schoolboy innocence. Like, I'm not allowed to talk about it. But I really kind of want to talk.
He doesn't want to make dad mad.
That's clearly what it was. It was such a shaming kind of thing. It was hilarious. I loved it. But was that your favorite touchdown celebration yesterday, David?
Well, so my favorite touchdown celebration of the season thus far has been the Eagles. By the way, I don't like the Eagles. I don't like them when they score touchdowns. But they did that bowling deal. They all lined up as pins.
That was awesome.
And somebody rolled a ball down. When I watched it, it was actually on a replay. And the audio, they had the whole sound of pins collapsing. The replay did it that way. So it made it seem,
fancy.
It really looked like these guys were making the sound of a clasping going down. It was great.
Well, that's very creative. I love that.
So what was your favorite end zone
celebration? My favorite was a few weeks back.
Yes.
It was the Texans, the Houston Texans, doing their relay. They handing off the baton from Miller to Fuller to, I can't remember who it was. Hopkins, I think, was the next one.
Ellington get it at one point?
Ellington, yep, that's right.
He was in on the relay.
Maybe Fuller wasn't in on the relay. I think you're right, Chris. It was Ellington. It was great. Loved it.
So there's been relay. There's been bowling. Duck, duck, goose. Hide and seek.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the hide and seek was
red
great.
Light, green light. I mean, all these things are happening. Is this good for the NFL?
Yes, we're
you
talking it. About it. Do you see that? We're mm-hmm. talking about it. Because you even look at Deflategate. Obviously, everyone was talking about the Patriots, not favorably. What happened to Tom Brady jersey sales? Through the roof during that whole period. Roger Goodell should love these celebrations. We're talking about the NFL.
You wouldn't rather talk about a national anthem protest or anything like that?
Ay, ay, ay.
Okay.
Enough of that. No, there shouldn't be talk of that. It should just be a one-way deal.
Yep.
And this is how it goes.
Yep. I will say I love the celebrations. I'm in favor of the celebrations. Mm-hmm. But it is odd when someone's celebrating a touchdown and they're behind by 3 scores and they're basically going to lose the game. Yet, I'm going to celebrate that I just scored.
Okay, here's my devil's advocate for you again.
Yes.
So maybe if you are the losing team, you know, and you're down by several touchdowns, doesn't that motivate you to want to get into the end zone so that you can do your pre-scripted hide and seek, duck, duck, goose? I guess you can't do twerking or anything like that anymore because that is, you know, naughty. But
thank goodness.
That would motivate me to want to do my little whatever I can do. So there we go.
All right.
Give me something to play for, right?
Well, why not?
Sure.
All right. So that's Gronk. He's the first in this highly acclaimed He Said, She Said segment. We have another. This is Coach Mike Zimmer. This will make Chris Tubbs behind the glass very happy because Chris is all things Vikings. Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Vikings, after the team's win over the Lions on Thanksgiving Day, let's hear what Zimmer had to say.
We just had the 3-game sprint. We finished 3-0. Okay?
Amen.
When we come back, we regroup, and we're not just playing to get in the thing, right? We're not playing to get in the tournament. We're playing to win at home.
At home.
Come back. All right. 55, come on.
Team on 3, 1, 2, 3, team.
So you know that I'm always biased to audio that has a beep in
right.
it.
We always have a beep audio.
And often we have to beep you out.
Clearly.
I mean, but.
Rein me in. It's not easy.
I mean, there have been some weeks when we had to beep out words that begin with F. And then Jerry Jones last week had his
P word.
I mean, my goodness. It all comes out. But Zimmer, I'm sure that he didn't need it. It was just precautionary.
Chris, what's your take?
Oh, yeah, he is of the utmost, never says anything foul-mouthed at all. I mean, that's Zimmer's M.O., but exactly.
Well, we got to cut Tubbs off
here. There's another one.
He's saying, what? Don't say that.
I know. Shame on me for saying that in front of the boss. But, I like the energy. I like the enthusiasm. I think a lot of coaches are like that. We just don't see a whole lot of it. That was Mike Zimmer just not giving a beep that the cameras were right there.
Right.
And, I mean, you look at what they've done going 3-0 in a very tough schedule. I think every week that we go along with any of these teams in the NFL, especially in the NFC because of how tight
it's so tight.
Any win, because they're all going to play each other over the next couple of weeks. I mean, you got the Eagles and the Saints. You got the Vikings and the Panthers and the Falcons. I mean, you got everybody. Everybody's going to play each other kind of like a round robin. I think in the next 3 weeks, we're going to see a lot more of that sort of emotion because that home field in the NFC is going to be so important, especially because you've got any one of four teams that could lay claim to that number one seed.
Okay, question for you, Chris. So when he said we're not playing to get in the beep tournament,
we're playing for the Super Bowl,
yeah,
right?
They're playing.
That's what I want to ask. Is it home field advantage or is it for the Super Bowl that's in their home, US Bank Stadium?
They're playing to play in the beeping tournament, to play in the beeping game in their beeping stadium.
For the beeping bowl, right?
Right.
Wow. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
You were beeping smart. Well done.
Bravo.
You bet your beep I am. Yep,
she sure right. is. The gloss is on fire tonight, I think.
Holy beep. This is beeping awesome.
I had half calf at about 3 o'clock today.
Oh,
I think it's working for me.
Yeah. I noticed something was different.
He's going to be monitoring my caffeine intake next week. Keep her away from that stuff.
Please.
Oh, my goodness.
Just right, caffeine. So, are we convinced it's just caffeine? Because I like this, Carla. This is
half calf.
No, this is half calf.
I thought I'm going to ease you boys into it. You do not want to see me on caffeine. Normally, I never have any.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought when I heard Robin, who is on the Sean Salisbury show, say last week that she has a Red Bull sometimes, I thought, oh, well, now I've never thought about doing anything like that. So I'm easing into it. I went half calf this afternoon.
Well, when we put you in morning drive, then you can have as much
full calf.
Caffeine. You can go full calf, get your Red Bull, do it all at once. Be really fired up.
Can you imagine me on caffeine? Not a good thought. Not a good thought.
Well,
anyway,
digressing. We do digress. When we come back, we get to close out our thoughts on the NFL. We have actually, let me just close out where we are in the first half with the Texans and the Ravens in Baltimore. The score stands 14-7.
10 now.
14-10.
The Texans kicked a field goal.
Kicked a field goal right before the half, so it's 14-10. Ravens leading the Texans in Baltimore. And we'll come back and close out our NFL talk when we return on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, we have learned a lot tonight. I think it's been a busy night. A very productive couple of hours. Maybe at the headlines, let's just review some of the things that have come out during the course of this conversation.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. We noted it was Cyber Monday. We talked about what you would most like for Christmas. And it seems sports related. You want some kind of memorabilia, something special.
Or a Trojan entry into the college semifinals.
And we have figured out how that can happen. If they win the Pac-12 convincingly over Stanford and the Big 12 doesn't get in because TCU wins, USC could find their way squeezing ahead of someone like Alabama.
See, you are the best boss ever.
All right. I'll give you Sam Darnold and USC in the CFP for Christmas. That's
okay,
my gift to you.
Thank you very much.
We've also talked about, in light of what happened with Miss Universe, the conversation led to your experience in the beauty contest And it was
or
notable.
Lack thereof.
There was some discussion about how you fared and what your experience was in those beauty contests. And we moved on from that pretty quickly. But
Thank the Lord. So
former beauty contestant Carla Dawson. And then we moved on to fights. There was a big fight this week. Tlaib, Crabtree, they went after it. And we got a lot of lessons out of you that basically the message was, if you're going to fight, take your helmet off and fight like a man.
That's it. That's it.
That's a good lesson to know.
I know. I don't think you expected that coming out of me.
Actually,
you grow
I
up
didn't.
In Oakland, this is what happens.
And
don't mess with me.
Is that right? Get the beat buddy button ready. She's talking Oakland trash here. But there are no fights in this building. Chris Tubbs is keeping his helmet on. I'm going to keep my helmet on. You have walked around without yours on all night, but we're not likely to hit you. So we're staying protected.
I'm in my own beast mode.
Evidently, yes.
Clearly.
So a great night and a pretty good Monday Night Football game thus far. It's Baltimore 14 over the Texans with 12 seconds remaining in the half. We saw a glimpse of old friend Ryan Mallett came on the field when Flacco was a little roughed up. Mallett came on and then he left. Flacco's back on the field for the Ravens. Ryan Mallett, an old favorite of yours.
Definitely not.
No.
And one who would love to take down the Texans, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, he had a little history here, traded from the Patriots to the Texans, and then, like a long list of Texans quarterbacks, was ushered out.
Yep, he was one of the many.
He was one of the many.
Not the most professional. Missed a couple flights. Remember that?
I remember.
We all do, yeah. So there he is.
All right. So to my former beauty contestant, Carla Dawson, to Chris Tubbs behind the glass, it's been a great night. And thank you for joining everyone for joining us here on The Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.